This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'll just delete that from the recording.
You just reminded me.
No.
Well, it's not like I'm hiding it. Everyone knows it again. No.
Shut up. Stop saying that about yourself.
Can I record it for Rula?
Yep. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Continuing with أصول في التفسير by الشيخ ابن صالح العثيمين. We're up to page 113. The محكم المتشابه. And he goes into a bit more detail in regards to the متشابهات, those ayat which are deemed unclear, etc. So he said, there's two types of متشابهات. Two types of mutashabihat. On page 113, sister. The first is haqiqi, which is absolute. Not possible to understand its reality at all. It's unclear and you'll never know what it really means. You'll never be able to understand its reality. That's the first. And neither allowed to ask about its reality. Like, for example, Allah's attributes, Allah's actions, Allah's the all-seer. How does Allah see? We don't know. Never be able to understand its reality. Allah sees in a manner that befits His majesty. For example, Allah has risen above the throne. How? We don't know. People ask me, I'll say, I've never seen it. I'm sorry, I can't answer you there. When Allah talks about al-lawh al-mahfuz, how does this lawh, this tablet look like? We don't understand exactly how. So, of course, it's understood in terms of its meaning. That's very important. When we say absolute mutashabih, what we're talking about is that its reality will never be able to be understood. Its reality. Until, of course, for example, in Jannah, you can't understand the reality of particular fruits of it now, but when you get there, you'll understand the reality. That's different. But we're talking about here in this dunya, we were not able to understand the reality. However, its meaning is understood. That's different. We say its meaning is understood. Because it wouldn't make sense for Allah to say something that has no meaning. That's silly. Allah doesn't talk in riddles. Allah doesn't talk in gibberish. So when we hear the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla's names and attributes, that He's the all-knower, the all-seer, we understand what that means. He knows it all. He knew the past, present. He's going to know that He knows the future. Allah is the all-seer. He sees everything you do, in daytime or night. So we understand the meaning, but the reality, we don't understand. So that's the first part. It's called haqiqi. I wrote that on the board for you.
Sorry, brother, if you don't mind.
Yep.
That was very confusing.
Sure, I'll repeat that.
Just because I really want to get it.
You don't need to, you know what? Maybe just put it in a very simple way.
When the ayat we know are classified as muhkam and mutashabih, clear and unclear. We've taken clear. It's so clear you don't need an explanation. As for the mutashabihat, the unclear ayat.
This is what we're discussing now.
Now, what does it mean unclear? There's two types of unclear ayat. The first is absolute. It's called haqiqi. And the second is nisbi, partial. These are in your notes. In summary, those ayat which are unclear, absolutely, you'll never be able to understand its reality. While partial, meaning a part of it is, temporarily you will be able to understand by going to the books of tafsir, by going to the scholars. So for example, an example of absolute, Allah's names, Allah's attributes.
Could that be?
Allah's act. Yeah, even that. You can add, there's many things that are absolute. An example of absolute haqiqi, an absolute uncertainty, an example would be Allah's names or Allah's attributes, Allah's actions. You could even say the cut up individual letters. Do we truly know the absolute meaning? We don't. So it's impossible. This is what we go off. Impossible to know its reality. As for nisbi, an example would be, for example, the laws of inheritance. The laws of inheritance. When you study inheritance, aren't you able to get to some understanding? Eventually you are. Yeah, it might be difficult. So on face value, wow, this is unclear. The laws of inheritance, laws of menstruation, laws of postnatal bleeding. As women, you probably even realize that. It's unclear in the beginning, all of these ahkam, these rulings. But are you able to know its reality? Are you able to get a clear understanding of it? You are. So that's an example of the second type of mutashabihat. They're called mutashabihat nisbiya. At-tashabuh and nisbi, partial uncertainty. An example of that would be, we said, inheritance laws or ahkam, rulings to do with menstruation, etc.
So with the partial, are they known? It's not known by the AS, it's known by other AS.
Correct. So, yes. Correct. It's exactly. So, here you are allowed to ask about them and you are able to get to an understanding via the scholars, via the books.
Okay, so I'm understanding that through the Haqqihi you can't, because it's like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says like about a hand, his hand.
Correct.
It's like laysa kamithlihi shay.
Exactly. Exactly. Correct. I just gave you an example. Yeah, exactly. We don't know the reality of it. Matters of the unseen.
It's not,
it doesn't mean it has no meaning.
It's not explained.
Exactly.
It's not explained and it won't be.
That's right. It's impossible to know its reality. How does it look like? Until Yawm al Qiyamah, you see Allah, for example. That's different. So it's impossible to know, and also it's haram to ask about. Not allowed to ask about the reality of these absolute mutashabihat. It's not allowed. So matters of the unseen. If there's no dalil for it, shouldn't ask about it. But we know the meanings of it in general. Allah talks about fruits in Jannah. Allah mentions rumman, pomegranate. And Allah mentions laban, milk. We know what milk is, we know what fruits are, but the reality of it, what does it exactly look like, what does it exactly smell like, what does it exactly taste like, we don't know, we're not allowed to ask about it. It's matters of the unseen. However, partial mutashabihat, they call that tashabuh and nisbi, it is possible to understand its reality. In other words, it's only unclear temporarily. By going to the books of tafsir, by going to the scholars, they'll be able to explain it. Like, for example, inheritance laws. By looking at inheritance laws, you'll be at a loss. It's uncertain to you. Even laws to do with, or the ahkam to do with menstruation, postnatal bleeding, breastfeeding while fasting, and pregnant women while fasting, all of these things. They are mutashabihat from one perspective, but it's temporary. Where you go to the books of the scholars and you speak to the people of knowledge, they'll be able to clarify it for you. So maybe it is possible to understand.
Maybe it is possible.
So it is. I wrote that.
Sorry, I'm saying things. I thought it's impossible to understand.
It is possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the absolute is impossible and the partial is possible.
Correct.
With further study. That's it.
Correct. It's possible to understand with further study by going to the scholars and the books. Are you allowed to ask about the partial?
Yes.
100%. You are allowed. It's halal. Because you are able to get to an understanding, and there's wisdom behind that. Showing us if there's no way of finding out something, don't ask about it. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla said. Don't ask about things that if their realities were made certain to you, they'd be a fitna for you, they'd be harm for you. That's why it's not allowed to spy and do things like this, right? To investigate people's private matters. Because when you if you uncover them, it's cause you a lot of harm and problems. So what do the Ahlul Bid'ah do? They delve deep into the absolute and they try to bring out its reality, or they'll put doubt upon the partial. There is able to be understood, but they understand it in another way. For example, the Shaykh gave an example of Allah Azza wa Jalla said, those who kill believers intentionally will reside in hellfire forever. Now, this ayah is, let's see on the next page. Where is it? page 117. He said, this ayah in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 93, this is on page 117. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hellfire forever. So those who are misguided or deviant in their hearts or are following a particular deviated belief like the Khawarij, they'll take this ayah and they'll say, ah, you see, Allah said, if you kill someone intentionally, a believer, this is a major sin. Allah said, this major sin will take you to hellfire forever. Therefore, major sins do make you a disbeliever. See how they take one ayah out of context and they apply their particular bid'ah. Here, when Allah Azza wa Jal says they'll abide in it forever, doesn't mean literal. Because the other ayat indicate that Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive, can forgive any sin except for shirk in the hereafter.
That's so, the
No, exactly. So they take these ayat and they apply it on the believers, subhanAllah. They apply it to the believers and they apply them out of context. Because Allah Azza wa Jal also said in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah doesn't forgive shirk in the hereafter, but He forgives any sin beneath it. So the same surah, Allah's telling you, Allah will forgive any other sin in the hereafter. Therefore, major sins do not take you outside the fold of Islam. Except unless it's a major sin like shirk, kufr, magic, things that the Prophet has mentioned. But they apply this as a general rule. All major sins make you a disbeliever. No, that's not the case. And also Allah talks about those who take riba, also uses the same word. You know, khalid in Arabic means to abide forever. Khalidan and khalidina fiha comes from the Arabic word khuld. And khuld means eternity. When Allah talks about riba, the same word is used, the same format, same form of the word. What Allah mentions here doesn't mean eternally they're going to abide in hellfire. It means that they're going to spend a long time in Jahannam, that it's going to seem as though it's eternity. Like if a person says to you, man, I've been waiting forever, where you been? It's not literal, it's just a ta'bir. And therefore we go to the books of tafsir and so forth and we see the meanings. So that's basically what the Shaykh goes on to mention with absolute uncertainty and partial uncertainty regarding ayat. So therefore what we do as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, first and foremost, when we come across any ayat that seem to be mutashabihat, unclear, then we reconcile between all the ayat. And if there's no reconciliation possible, then we go to the books of tafsir, perhaps this ayah was abrogated. Like for example, Allah says in Surah An-Nisa as well, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Don't approach prayer while drunk. So a person will say, yeah, but Allah also told us to avoid alcohol. Saying here, you can drink, but as long as you're not praying drunk, what does it mean? So therefore, we go to books of tafsir, we'll find out that this ayah was mansukha. This ayah has been cancelled. So that's our approach. Now, on the next part, he goes on to page 119, the wisdom of classifying the Qur'an to muhkam mutashabih. You may ask, why would Allah Azza wa Jal reveal ayat that are mutashabihat? Unclear. We mentioned some of this earlier. Recap. What are some of the wisdoms, Ya Akhawat, where Allah will reveal ayat which are unclear?
Like a test.
Very good. Number one, to test your submission. To test your Islam. Are you going to submit? You claim to be a Muslim. And a Muslim, Yuslim. The Muslim submits. Are you going to submit? Say, look, you know what? I don't understand, but you know what? From Allah, I accept. كُلُّم مِنْ عَنْدِ رَبِّنَا. I believe it's from Allah. It's in the Quran, I believe it. So it's to test your submission. Are you going to accept even though it's unclear to you? And therefore, an-naql fawq al-aql. The revelation above reasoning. I'll accept it because Allah said it. Another wisdom behind the mutashabihat is, you're going to add?
Strengthen your belief.
Strengthen. Maybe, but how? Like, what do you mean? I guess when you come across something which seems to be mutashabihat and then the Shaykh explains it, shows there's no contradiction, you're like, Allah, it gives you more yaqeen. Gives you more yaqeen that, you know, there's no fault in this book. Because sometimes an Orientalist will come to you and throw a misconception your way, and it may seem there's a contradiction. Ibn Taymiyyah said, if you do come across an alleged contradiction, we say alleged, he said, the contradiction is only in your mind. That's it. You think, but due to your lack of knowledge of the book of Allah, that you may think. So when you realize there is no contradiction, it increases your iman. Very good. Another wisdom behind the ayat, behind Allah Azza wa Jalla revealing ayat which are unclear, is that it humbles you. It's a second wisdom. Humbles you. You know, you come across Alif Lam Mim, the beginning of the Quran. What does it mean? I don't know. Allah is saying, you know, don't come with this attitude like I know it all. Don't come with this attitude of the Quran, you know what, I'm going to understand this whole book. No, there's many things you don't understand. Allah is saying, you know, take it easy. You know, lower that pride a little bit. You know, step on your ego. So it humbles you that we don't know everything. Third benefit, why Allah will send unclear ayat. To make evident the truthful from the deviant. True? Because what do the deviants do? They focus on the mutashabihat, they try to explain them when sometimes they are absolute uncertainty. There's no explanation for it. You know, you can't understand the reality. So the truthful refer to these ayat. The truthful, what do? They refer these ayat to the muhkam or to the people of knowledge. That's the truthful ones. They'll come across an ayah which is unclear, they'll use the clear to judge, or if they can't do that, they'll go to the people of knowledge. So that shows you their truthfulness, their sidq. As for the deviant, what do? They use these ayat to support their preconceived notions or bid'ah. And this is the opposite to the way of Ahl Sunnah. You know, an innovator will come with a preconceived notion. He'll come with a bid'ah and he'll look to the Quran and the Sunnah to support his deviation. So he'll look to that as evidence. No, this is not the way of Ahl Sunnah. The way of Ahl Sunnah is that you base your aqidah on the Quran and the Sunnah, not the other way around. Not, you know, I've got an idea already, I've got a bid'ah, and I'll look for evidence to support my bid'ah from the Quran. No. So we come and we submit our aqidah and methodology to that of the Quran. So the wisdom behind Allah sending unclear ayat is to see how you're going to deal with it. If you're going to deal with it in the proper way, that shows your sidq, your truthfulness in Allah Azza wa Jal. So a person may say, okay, great, I see wisdoms behind Allah sending ayat which are unclear. In that case, why didn't He make the whole Quran unclear, right? Why didn't He make all of the Quran mutashabih?
Because it
needs
to be a guide for mankind.
No, ahsanti, ya'ani alayki. No, then it defeats the purpose of the Quran coming as a guidance, a huda linnas and a huda lilmuttaqin, you see? So if the whole Quran was mutashabih, then it defeats the purpose from the Quran being easily accessible by most people, the layman, and as a means of guidance and clarifying its meanings would become extremely difficult. Why you'd be so confused if every ayah is mutashabih? You'd be so confused. It'll actually turn you off. And that's why we said, for the most part, the base, the foundation of the book, the Quran, is muhkam, clear. So therefore, I'll repeat, if all of the Quran was mutashabih, it defeats the purpose of the Quran being easily accessible by everyone, the layman.
Come in.
Come in. And tafaddal.
Allah
barak fik, Ustad.
Takif?
No.
So we said the purpose of the whole Quran not coming as mutashabih is that, number one, we said it defeats the purpose of the Quran being easily accessible by the people, and it defeats the purpose of the Quran coming down as a guidance. That's number two. The Quran is to be a guidance. So how's it going to be a guidance if it's all unclear? And thirdly, we said the meanings will become extremely difficult to understand.
Sorry, what was the third one?
The meanings will be extremely difficult to understand. And so there's great wisdom behind Allah sending the Quran in both styles. SubhanAllah. The more you learn about it, the Quran, Allah just increases you in iman. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
was page 119 to 120. And then on page 121, he goes on to mention alleged contradictions. This is what in Arabic is called muhim at-ta'arud. Muhim at-ta'arud, alleged. In other words, you may think is a contradiction. That's the wisdom of the Shaykh saying muhim at-ta'arud as opposed to saying at-ta'arud fil Quran. A'udhu billah. You don't say at-ta'arud fil Quran, contradictions in the Quran, because there are none. Now he goes on to mention examples. But first he says a contradiction in the Quran means that two or more verses conflict with each other, and that what is proven by one of them prevents a possibility of what the other proves. Such as, for example, one affirming something, another negating. And that's impossible in the Quran, to have complete opposites, right? That's a contradiction. So therefore, he called it muhim at-ta'arud. He gives examples, and he goes proof that the Quran, no doubt, is clear. But an example would be, Allah sent the Quran down in Laylatul Qadr, yes? But we know also the Quran was revealed in other nights and other days. It wasn't just in Ramadan. Allah said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. So this ayah shows you the Quran was revealed in Ramadan. But then other ayahs were revealed after Ramadan. How do we understand it? It seems like an alleged contradiction. But in reality, Allah is saying, the whole Quran was sent down to, we know this in tafsir, Bayt al-Izzah. And from there it was sent down piecemeal over 23 years outside of Ramadan. So he goes to give examples. Another one where Allah says that this Quran is hudan lil nas. It's a guidance for the people. Also Allah said hudan lil muttaqin. It's guidance for muttaqin. Which one is it? It's both. True? It's both. And this is what we call that when Allah said huda lil muttaqin, it's called hidayat al-tawfiq. As opposed to huda lil nas, it's called hidayatul bayan wal irshad. So when Allah said this is a guidance for the muttaqeen, Allah is saying that this is from Allah Azza wa Jal, they are guided, and this is the tawfiq from Him. As opposed to saying huda lil nas, this is the guidance of, it's called the guidance of bayan. In other words, when you call a non-Muslim to Islam, you call the people, the nas, to Islam, you're giving the guidance of calling them to the deen. That's called hidayat al-bayan. You're calling them. If they accept it, that's called na. Then they become muttaqin. You see? So it's both. There's no contradiction there. Now, I'm going to summarize this chapter for you with our approach. What's your approach to alleged contradictions? Three-step process. Number one, reconcile. That's our first job, ya akhawat. You come across ayat that seem to be contradictory. You don't say, oh, I'll cancel this one. I'll remove it from the Mus'haf. A'udhu billah. Oh, this has no meaning. No, rather you reconcile. Remember when we talked about Allah says we were created from soil, another ayah, we're created from a nutfa, another ayah, we're created from alaqa. We reconcile. We say we take all credit from all of it. It's just the different stages of man's creation, you see? So the first step is you reconcile. Now if you can't reconcile, you say, كُلُّم مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, as Allah said in Surah Al Imran, this is all from Allah, I accept it. So you submit regardless, even if you don't understand it. That's your second step. You submit your aql to the naql. That's the second step. You submit your intellect to the revelation. You submit your reasoning to the revelation. That sounds better, because R for reasoning, R for revelation, right?
You submit your
reasoning to the revelation. Submission over indecision. Yeah, that rhymes.
I guess. Maybe we change it again.
No, up to you how you want to write it.
Revelation.
Yeah. You submit your reasoning to the revelation.
What can I put next to reconcile? Just so when I look at it.
So you combine. Yeah, you combine all the meanings, yeah. In other words, you don't ignore one. You don't ignore one and you say, oh, this ayah shouldn't be here, right? You take them all in. That's our first step. And the second, if you can't seem to do that, it still doesn't make sense to you, you say, it's all from Allah. I accept it all. And then third, very important, you turn to the people of knowledge and the books. Because if you don't, if you leave it like that, that could be a misconception that stays in your mind. So therefore, the third is that you turn to the people of knowledge and they'll explain it for you.
So we're done with that. Alhamdulillah. We'll stop here. As for Al-Qasam, he goes on to mention Al-Qasam. Actually, I think they removed that from the English. The Arabic, alleged contradictions. Yeah, remember in the beginning of this book, he said they removed a couple of things because the Arabic was just too hard to translate. I think I can give it a crack and explain it to you. But next won't be next week because I'll be in Hajj. So you're up to... Who?
Next week in
Hajj? No, I'll go on Hajj next Tuesday.
Inshallah.
Yeah, so actually probably Monday. Week? Yeah, for me, but you still come,
are
of
you
course.
Friday?
Yes, Friday? Yes. So what I'm going to do, sisters, the rest of this book is only two or three... There's actually two chapters left. And as you saw today, we finished three chapters because it's quite easy now. I'll finish it and the recordings. So I'll finish this book with the brothers' class on Friday night. And you can listen to the recording. So you finish the book. So please request the recording. I'll send it to maybe Rana or Fatima. She can send it to the group.
So what are we doing for the rest of the term?
You got a tafsir. Okay. Yeah. We said really this term was tafsir.
Oh, short swords at the end.